This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
You are about to listen to the Dr. Dahlia Show. Sassy, stimulating medical talk radio. Any medical advice Dr. Dahlia Wax gives on her show should not be substituted for an actual visit to your medical provider. And now, here's Dr. Dahlia.
Doctor, give me the news. I got a bad case of loving you.
All right, guys, we are back on the Dr. Dahlia Show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOC-DALI, 1-877-DOCDALI. So I'm sure you guys have noticed when you've been out there in public that you see a slew of people not wearing the masks. People are happy. They're breathing. They feel relieved. They feel, right, okay, good. They're happy people. All right. Then you have a bunch of other people wearing the masks. Now, I can't tell if they're happy because their face is covered, but a lot of people wearing their masks. Maybe not as many as the people out of the masks, but I would probably say on average, I still see about 30 to 40% of people still wear a mask. A bunch of other people not wearing a mask. And we have all had our predictions when it came to masks. We had a prediction that as soon as the CDC said, all right, guys, if you're vaccinated, you don't have to wear a mask, would have people who weren't vaccinated not wear their mask. People would, you know, cheat and say, oh yeah, I was vaccinated. So we knew that was coming. But what did surprise me is the group of vaccinated individuals still wearing their mask. So there's a whole bunch of groups out there. I mean, if we had to look at the gamut of things, okay, you got the people out there going, I'm vaccinated, mask gone, I'm done, I'm enjoying life. Okay? Then you have those where they're vaccinated, they took off the mask, right? They're happy, but they're like, well, you know what, maybe in some scenarios I might want to wear them because I'm really worried about that 5% risk of hospitalization. I'm worried about the variants. So by the way, we got some good news on the vaccine. They said it looks pretty good when it comes to the India variant and the other variants, so that's good. But you have some people that are kind of cautious, right? Then you have the group of individuals who go, look, I was vaccinated, but I want to help the cause, and I don't like that there's people out there pretending to not be vaccinated, so I'm going to wear a mask, so I'm going to show people that wearing a mask is still okay, especially for those who aren't vaccinated. Then you have the group going, I don't want my unvaccinated friends and family to feel alone, so I'm going to wear a mask, so my unvaccinated friends and family don't feel alone, and then they feel like they still look cool. Okay? Then you have others going, I don't care. I don't care if I'm vaccinated or not. I am scared to death of anything out there. It's beyond COVID. I don't want to get anybody else's tuberculosis or flu or cold, so I'm just going to wear a mask. So you have all these groups of individuals. It's interesting because, you know, we're Americans. And we would think as America, we kind of all, you know, we like our hamburgers, we like our movies, we like our sports, you know, but no, we're very, very different. We're very diverse. And so when you see the population and you see people in masks, you know, and then you have some people without masks, you really start to see that there's a real big difference in how people look at things. You know, a friend of mine, a physician, I went to see one of my former students for lunch. He was wearing a mask, and I think he's in the group going, look, guys, you know, for those of you that are starting to think, you know what, we don't want to look like we're anti-vaxxers. No, you can wear a mask and be, you know, and be pro-vaccine. It's okay. And I put one on also because I was with him, and I didn't want him to feel alone. But I got the feeling that when I wore the mask, people were looking at me like I was a anti-vaxxer. Because I didn't get the vaccine. I did get the vaccine. I just wore a mask because my friend was wearing a mask. And it's peer pressure. And I didn't want to make it look like I, you know, was going to let him leave him hanging. I was going to support whatever cause he was supporting in terms of, and also he deals with patients. So maybe he doesn't want to get other people's germs. You know, I mean, you know, we doctors, we do things a little differently because I've worn a mask for years in my practice because I didn't want somebody breathing something on me and then I go to the next room and breathe it out on them. I just, you know, so I've worn masks. So we doctors will do that, you know, or if I have food in my teeth, I'll wear a mask. But it's very interesting to me that it was predicted that we are going to have a group of the population that will probably wear masks for a very long time after this, whether they're vaccinated or not. And remember, we talked about this last year when you see in China, since the avian flu and the swine flu and all sorts of different flu and their first SARS outbreak in 2002 to 2003, many of them just still wore masks. They just kept the mask. They liked it. That worked for them. And, you know, I know some people want to make fun of people that still wear masks when they don't have to, and don't, because what are you guys doing for your immune regimen? You're taking probiotics? You're taking vitamins? What's the difference? Somebody's taking vitamins, somebody's taking probiotics, somebody's praying, somebody's wearing a mask. It's kind of what we do. I mean, that's how we're, you know, everybody's kind of doing their own thing to each their own. But in terms of, you know, how we move forward, once you give everybody a crash course in microbiology and you teach everybody about what these pathogens do, and if they see what happens to their friends and family, it freaks them out a little bit. Now, I have to admit, I was expecting to see less people in masks. I knew people would still wear masks, but I didn't think I would see that many people. You know, in fact, when I talked to my managers of our salons, and I said, look, guys, how we have to approach the mask thing, you know, based not only on the CDC, but also what the company wants, because we have a couple franchises. They said, you know, most of the staff want to still wear masks anyway, and many of the customers still wear masks. So I think some people are liking it. Where I, though, get a little nervous is if the mask could be doing harm to somebody. You know, I've had people call in saying, Dahlia, I have not gotten sick in a year and a half, and that's wonderful. But are you being exposed? Do we have to get sick in order to stay healthy? It's a judgment call, and I can't answer that. I keep getting asked that. You know, do we need COVID to be able to fight COVID? Well, I don't think so. I'm going to avoid COVID at all costs if I can. But in terms of, should we get a cold next year? Should we get the flu? I mean, at some point, when do we start to build our immunity? And I don't know, because we don't have the studies to the degree that we need to. What happens if we mask up for a good couple years and then the mask comes off and that flu bug gets to us? I don't know. There's got to be a happy medium. 1-877-DR-DAHLIA, don't go away.
As a bald man, on a per follicle basis, haircuts usually aren't a great value to me. But at Supercuts, I can have an experienced stylist recommend the perfect cut for an affordable price, even if my options are limited. And while my hair-to-dollar ratio is good, yours is off the charts. Because Supercuts won't just cut your hair. They'll obsess over it until you look amazing, then finish with a hot towel refresher to top it all off. And from my personal bald perspective, that's what I call hair rich. Don't take your hair for granted. Take it to Supercuts.
Hey guys, gals, Dr. Dahlia here. How many of you have just become single and it's been years since you've dated? Well, you need to be careful out there, as there's a lot of pitfalls and scams. But there's also true love. So I recommend reading our Baby Boomer's Guide to Online Dating. We'll give you the scoop on scammers, STDs, and what makes the best first date. Go to my website at drdahlia.com and click on the Baby Boomer's Guide to Online Dating. That's drdahlia.com.
We know the global elites, the 1%, have hijacked and subverted the U.S. culture, economy, and government. The battle to take back America begins with the Rise USA, the Resurrection Tour. Thousands of patriots are on the march to Little Rock, Shreveport, and three stops in Texas, plus many other stops on the Arise USA Tour. 50 states, 84 stops, 111 days. The Arise USA Tour will unite the 99% of we the people that stand against the 1% globalist elites and their tyranny. The Arise Rise USA Tour is free, with hundreds of speakers and freedom fighters, including Constitutional Sheriff Richard Mack, the Patriot Street Fighter Scott McKay, Human Rights Attorney Lee Dundas, and many more. For tour info and a list of speakers, go to AriseUSA.com. Join the thousands that have donated over $1 million to Arise USA Tour. To donate or for the tour stop nearest you, go to AriseUSA.com. That's AriseUSA.com.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's N-U-T-R-I Medical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, formerly Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, Air National Guard and Reservist. I'm looking for veterans, active duty military personnel to join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. She needs your skills, courage, and loyalty more than ever. Contact GCNteam.com. Because of the financial and healthcare collapse, veterans are currently struggling finding jobs. Frustrated looking for a job? Change your tactics. Join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. Start a healthcare business with FDI Longevity 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCNteam.com. Immediately. We're looking for military specialists who can use a computer and communicate information and execute a battle plan. Join the admirals, Navy SEALs, Marines, pilots, Army officers, military police, sheriffs, police officers, firemen, and first responders already enrolled in the 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCNteam.com now. FDI Longevity will help you apply your military skills to the task of saving America through health and financial programs. Contact GCNteam.com. Enlist in GCNteam.com and save America.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Amazon customer: it's amazing. I just ordered my second bottle. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after I exercise. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off of BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. Amazon customer: Extendivite works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. Amazon customer: excellent herbal formula. I've been using it to keep my cardiovascular system fine-tuned. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
All right, guys, we are back on the Dr. Dolly Show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOC-DOLLY, 1-877-DOC-DALI. Big thanks to Genesis Communications Network for making the show happen. Big thanks to Daniel for working the dials. And big thanks to y'all for tuning in. We really do appreciate it. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Dr. Dahlia and on Facebook, The Dr. Dahlia Show. So do you guys remember there was a plane crash decades ago? And there was, I believe, a young child who was sitting in between two obese family members. And the child survived the plane crash because I guess the family members shielded a lot of the fault. I have to look it up. It was decades ago. And it was one of the very few, survivors ever from a plane crash. I don't remember what it was. I just thought of it when I saw this story. But apparently, there was a survivor of the Italian cable car crash,
And apparently it's because the father held him. Eitan Biron survived the Italian cable car horror that happened over the weekend as Father Amit shielded him with his body. Apparently, the father wrapped the five-year-old in an instinctive embrace. Eitan is unconscious in the hospital, awaiting a brain scan, but he survived. Hopefully, he'll be able to wake up, and he's in intensive care. Doctors treating him said he still suffered broken bones, is unconscious, but he was protected by his father, who shielded him from blows that ultimately killed everyone around him, including Mother Tal, Brother Tom, and both his great-grandparents. Now, his aunt and grandparents that weren't a part of that are now at his bedside at his hospital, Turin. Doctors say he is going to undergo brain scan. I'm sure he's already had that, but, you know. And then the next 2 days are going to be crucial for his recovery. But medics spoke at his prosecutors opened up a manslaughter probe into the tragedy. This occurred around midday Sunday in the Piedmont region, close to Lake Maggiore, saying their investigation will now focus how a lead cable that was pulling a car uphill snapped. Investigators will also look at why an emergency brake mechanism failed to grab hold of a secondary support cable, allowing the car to roll backwards before it slipped off the wire and plunged 65 feet onto the mountainside. Now, the car was traveling between the town of Stresa and the summit of Monterone Mountain. Then it rolled some 500 yards downhill, and then it crumpled against the trunks of a couple pine trees. So, Eitan's family, his great-grandparents, who were in their 70s and 80s, multiple family members, unfortunately died. And I ski, right? And I'll be on those ski lifts. And I'm afraid of heights. I've always been afraid of heights. And I know, every time I talk about this, my husband's like, come on, it was a once in a blue moon accident. But I just hate these kinds of things. Maybe it's because I feel if, God forbid, me and my family are going to go, you know, I don't know. I just don't want to think about that. But I don't want it to think about me going, hey, guys, I want to go on this trip. I want to see this scenery. Let's take something that kind of, you know, carries us up in the middle of the sky. I just don't, even though my kids would be the first one to say, let's do it. You know, I don't know. It's just heartbreaking. So, but what blows my mind is how some people can survive these very, horrific tragedies because of, and you know, his father was slim, but being able to protect them. And so, you know, when we're in a plane and they say, all right, guys, get to crash position, and we all think of, yeah, is this really going to help? You know, we go through the, you know, every time before we go on a plane, we look at the safety procedures, and they go, look, you know, I'm going to pray. I mean, I'm going to bow my head to pray, but will it really help? There's always that once in a blue moon possibility where, you know, maybe it will. So I, you know... Now, there was a father and son who actually had avoided being in the cable car. Apparently, Dario Prezioso said he and his six-year-old son were on their way to the top of the mountain. He had promised the boy a ride on a bobsled at the Alpiland theme park. The pair were waiting at an intermediate station halfway up when they went to board the car, but it was full. So instead, the father and son decided to wait for the next one. But it never arrived because the whole system suddenly stopped. Staff transported them back down the mountain, refunded them their money. They went to a pizzeria. And then, because they're like, well, I guess it's, you know, because they don't tell everybody what happened. They're like, okay, well, there's a delay. And then they just froze because they could have actually been in that. That's another thing that I find very, very creepy is when you hear people and their stories of them possibly being in a place where there could have been a... you know, a tragedy. Like, for example, September 11th, I remember a few days later them interviewing a gentleman who was late for his custodian job. He said, I was late that day. I woke up, overslept. By the time I got there, they were already crashing. Wow. I tell my kids never be late to their job, but you see something like that, and you're like, okay, you know what, maybe be late. I had, years ago, this was in the 80s, met somebody who had apparently was, I think it was a Delta flight that crashed in New York in the 70s. I forget exactly which one it was. And there was a gentleman who had, I think it was a woman who was panicking, saying, I need to get on this flight, I need to get on this flight. I have to make this flight home. So he traded tickets or something. And he said, you know what, this means more to her than me, it's fine. And then he waits for the next flight, and that flight ended up having an accident and crashing. So it's, you know, I start to now overlook things. It's like if I'm late and the kids are making me late and I'm starting to get mad, sometimes what I do is I just stop for a second and go, well, maybe it's because if we had gone 5 minutes earlier, we might have went into this intersection and then there would have been that accident. I don't know. It's just, to me, a way where I can just kind of, I guess, talk myself through not being so mad about something, because it really is timing. I can't tell you how many accidents, and we're talking freak accidents, happen. And it's sometimes, you know, either God has a plan or it's just the unfortunate luck. Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez said she is, I believe, in therapy after the Capitol riot. She thinks it was a, quote, all-out attempted coup. And she is learning to, quote, slow down after her January 6th experience with the riot. She told the Latino USA podcast, I guess it's called Latino USA, that her colleagues told her to, quote, recognize trauma. So they're calling it the MAGA riot, the January 6th MAGA riot. Some people call it the U.S. Capitol riot. Some people call it whatever. But it was frightening, and she has revealed that she is now undergoing therapy. She goes, oh, yeah, I'm doing therapy, but I've also just slowed down. She said, I think the Trump administration had a lot of us, especially Latino communities, in a very reactive mode. She said, after the 6th, I took some time, and it was really Representative Ayanna Pressley when I explained to her what happened to me, like the day of, because I ran to her office, and she was like, you need to recognize trauma. She said, and I feel like I learned this the hard way after my father had passed when I was a teenager. That happened at a young age, and I locked it away. You have to live with it for years. So, I mean, I from what I understand, she was fairly safe. There was nobody in her building, and, you know, but we can talk a little bit about trauma with this. And I, you know, in terms of whenever I was in a car accident, and I didn't want it. I was in like 3 car accidents in a matter of 4 months when I moved to LA to go to school at UCLA. I guess learning how to drive in Nevada does not prepare you to drive in California. And I got into multiple car accidents. And I didn't want to drive anymore. And like, I'm done. Why am I getting back into a car? And my husband immediately made me get back into a car. And he said, you have got to, because the longer you stay away from it, the worse it is. Now, and the reason why your body goes through that, that's post-traumatic stress, is because it doesn't want you to, you know, it's protecting you. It's a protective mechanism. But unfortunately, you could be so traumatized that your brain just won't allow you to do certain things. They won't allow you to get back in a car, won't allow you to get back on a bike, won't allow you to get in a cable car, won't allow you to go back to work. It is frightening. I mean, if God forbid I went to work and there was some mass shooting, I wouldn't want to go back to work. I'd want to work from home. So it's understandable. But in psychology, they do baby steps, helping you get over your fears, like spiders. I don't like spiders. So I'll, you know, when I see a spider, I'll purposely go up to one just to kind of face my fear and try to retrain my brain. Really is a lot of retraining the brain. But it's a process. Yeah, 1-877-DOCTOR-DOLLY. Don't go away.
If you feel America is facing more dangers than ever, you're right. Things are falling apart, it seems, every day. That's why you need to prepare for more of the unexpected, especially food shortages. When people panic, grocery stores run out of food fast. Would you survive without food for days, weeks, even months? The smart folks are buying emergency food now. Take a moment to shop MyPatriotSupply.com. We're America's leader in preparedness. With over a dozen years' experience, My Patriot Supply has earned over 40,000 four-star and five-star reviews. Our delicious, calorie-rich food averages 2,000 calories per day and lasts in storage up to 25 years, so it's there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com, order a kit or two, and we'll ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Don't wait for something bad to happen again. Rather, be more self-reliant and prepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
America's top diplomat is headed to the Middle East to follow up on the ceasefire between Israel and Hamas. The White House says Secretary of State Antony Blinken's visit will underscore America's ironclad commitment to Israel's security. He'll also focus on the Biden administration's effort to rebuild ties with the Palestinian people. Lawmakers on Capitol Hill looking at voter ID laws across the United States. North Carolina Democrat G.K. Butterfield opening the virtual hearing by saying some of the voter ID laws disproportionately burden minority voters. Wisconsin Republican Brian Steele calls Butterfield's arguments a false narrative.
We find ways to work to ensure our elections are free, fair, and secure.
Steele also stressing that voter ID makes it easier to vote and hard to cheat. And you're listening to USA Radio News. Another blue state governor is caught violating her own state's COVID rules at a local restaurant.
Michigan's governor has issued an apology after being caught violating her own health orders. Governor Gretchen Whitmer was photographed at an East Lansing bar apparently violating her social distancing order. Whitmer apologized on Sunday, saying that because everyone in her group was vaccinated, she hadn't thought twice when two tables were pushed together to accommodate the growing group. Whitmer is one of several governors who have faced severe backlash over their COVID restrictions. From the USA Radio News Ohio Bureau, I'm Dan Naraki.
The Texas Senate has passed legislation to ban critical race theory from public and charter schools in the Lone Star State. The bill now heads to Republican Governor Greg Abbott's desk. Abbott is considered likely to sign it into law. The legislation would forbid employees in any state agency, school district, campus, open enrollment charter school, or school administration to require or make part of a course a number of concepts promoted by CRT. USA Radio News.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who've helped people that have been injured or wronged. Have you been diagnosed with cancer? Are you one of the millions who have taken Zantac or other generic versions of this popular drug to help treat stomach issues? Then pay close attention to this message. The FDA said it detected low levels of a probable cancer-causing chemical known as NDMA in Zantac and other generic forms of this popular drug. They've banned sales and even removed it from the market. If you've been diagnosed with cancer and you've taken Zantac or a generic equivalent, call the legal helpline now. You could receive a free cash award and have your medical expenses covered. And there's no upfront cost to you. They only get paid if you win. So please call now. 800-998-7173. 800-998-7173. 800-998-7173. That's 800-998-7173.
Back on Dr. Dahlia's show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOC-DALI. 1-877-DOCDALI. I don't know why it's taking so gosh darn long, but we, for months, maybe even last year, thought this was some leak in a lab in terms of the COVID outbreak. And only piece by piece are they starting to move forward with looking at that theory seriously. In fact, the Wall Street Journal finally published a piece last week saying that there were members of the lab, researchers at the lab, that had to be hospitalized in November 2019. Well, I know we didn't hear much about COVID until December 2019, January 2020. I personally think it happened late in the summer, and it took a while. And I guess... That was echoed later by a report from the Trump administration
where their State Department had said, look, we heard of people getting sick in August of 2019. So in order for there to be the tens of thousands of people who were sick with it by December when it was finally reported, it had to have started months before. So obviously this came from somewhere. Something happened. And the reason why I've been throughout this time continuing to say, look, I think there was something that happened at the lab. I don't know if it was deliberately leaked, but accidental, is because this isn't China's first rodeo. They've leaked, you know, or they've had issues with contamination or exposure before. So back in 2004, Lee Liming of the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, now this is in China, along with several other officials had to resign because there was a 2004 SARS outbreak that was linked to a laboratory leak. According to Science Magazine, 8 people in Beijing and the Anhui province were sickened, and one was killed in an outbreak that started when 2 workers at the CDC lab, independent from each other, developed SARS. They said the most likely source of their infection, the report concludes, is a batch of supposedly inactivated SARS virus that was brought from a high containment facility into a low safety diarrhea research lab where the two were working. They said apparently the inactivation process, adding a mix of detergents to the virus, did not work properly, according to the study, of which only a 5-paragraph summary has been released. And in a breach of standard safety procedures, the researcher who carried out the inactivation, identified by the family name quote-unquote Ren, had not tested whether the virus was truly inactive, according to the panel. So the accident was being reported as due to, quote, negligence. Then in late, you know, this isn't the first time there's been an issue. In late 2002, there was a SARS epidemic, right, that emerged out of China, spread to multiple countries. 8,100 people died, or 8,100 people were affected. 774 people were killed. The outbreak was declared officially over by July 2003, but the above SARS incident happened the next year in China. Then in 2003, the Singapore Ministry of Health released a report of an investigation into SARS and concluded that patient zero most likely acquired the infection in a laboratory as a result of accidental contamination. So the original SARS outbreak, they think, was also a lab issue. So the Singapore Ministry of Health was conducting research on the West Nile virus in a lab that was additionally conducting research using active SARS virus. So the original SARS outbreak could have been a lab leak. Then there was a lab leak the next year. Now we have COVID. I mean, I'm not trying to, promote and propagate conspiracy theories, but if investigations continually say that there is an issue in the lab, then or with labs, when is anybody going to, call it? And it's so unfortunate because we are almost 2 years. If this did happen as a leak in August 2019 or the summer 2019, we're almost 2 years out. The evidence is gone. Pretty much. Now, since 2004, no other quote-unquote SARS outbreaks have been reported. The World Health Organization, CDC, apparently deployed hundreds of medical experts, allocated funds and resources to investigate the study of the original SARS outbreak. Unclear what oversight persisted in the following years. Now, SARS and SARS-CoV-2 are believed to have originated in bats, but the original virus had a higher mortality rate. Now, Walls et al. Published in an article saying both SARS-CoV and SARS-CoV-2 are closely related and originated in bats that most likely served as a reservoir host for these two viruses. They says palm civets, raccoon dogs have been recognized as intermediate hosts for those between bats and humans. The second intermediate host, the CoV-2 that we're dealing with, intermediate host, remains unknown. So here we are with a, all right, well, it came from a bat, Most of these need an intermediate host, because otherwise bats would have affected humans this whole time. Most of the time, the change that happens for in humans to be infected happens in an intermediate host, somebody in between. And so when people say, look, but there was no time, where was the intermediate host between the SARS outbreaks that came from bats? You have to assume there wasn't time. That there might have been some sort of a direct exposure or somebody tinkering with it or something that happened and allowed within a human host to live, continue to propagate, and then go to another human. It's tricky science. I get it. It's tricky. But my problem with all this is the World Health Organization originally said, no, nothing to see here. Why? I mean, what? Why did their report say nothing to hear soon? Nothing to see here. Why? So this lab leak hypothesis is going to be hard to prove because you need now, the only thing you can have now is witnesses. And if witnesses aren't going to come forward or they're scared or they've already been killed or whatever, I'm not saying that's what's going on, but if these are theories, we're not going to get any, clarity. And my problem with all this is if the original SARS could have been a leak that prompted now oversight or that then oversight for years, and I'm not sure when that stopped. But if the original SARS could have been a leak, then there was a proven leak a few years later, and now we have this COVID-19. I think this should have been the top theory. I don't think I would blame frozen food from Italy, which was, I think, one of the theories that they tried to propagate. I don't think they could blame, this was something that the Trump administration did. Are you kidding me? None of that makes sense. And I really just don't buy that China wanted to do population control. I don't know if I buy that either. I really think it was just another accident because these people are overworked. They might not, when you scare somebody to death, sometimes they're more, fearful than following protocols. And I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. Or maybe it's because you can't contain nature. We can't contain a hurricane. We can't contain a lightning storm. We can't contain a virus. Maybe that's what's going on. So, we'll see what happens. The World Health Organization has repeatedly said the virus came from an animal host. Okay, we agree that the original SARS could have come from a bat. Okay, tell us why we have now the millions of people that have been affected. In fact, they're saying that the death toll isn't 3.6 million, but could have been 8 million. It just was underreported. So you're gonna have to come up with some explanation. And the longer you wait, the less chance we have of proving what happened. 1-877, Dr. Dolly.
Hey everybody, if you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing, we've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with a high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away at soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
Hey guys, Dr. Dahlia here. We love our drivers out there, and many of you are in need of renewing your CDL. Well, if you're in Southern Nevada, we've got the place for you. Your DOT physical can be done by calling 702-562-8800, and mention this ad. You'll get a discount.
easy, convenient hours to get you back on the road. So for your CDL DOT physical, call 702-562-8800 and drive safely.
Hello, I'm a bald person, which means when I walk past a conveniently located Supercuts, it's a harsh, not-so-convenient reminder of the hair I no longer have. And when their friendly stylist tells me I can save time by checking in online, I tell them I save plenty of time already by not having much hair to cut. So while I might not be able to take full advantage of having amazing, affordable haircuts always close by, you, those with hair, can. Don't take your hair for granted. Take it to Supercuts.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Are you curious about what might be missing from your diet and supplement choices? Take a free health assessment to identify your possible nutrient deficiencies. As a certified holistic health coach, I will help you assess and prioritize a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Mineral Doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
You hear the headlines. You know health insurance is a real mess right now. Premiums have skyrocketed, and in most cases, you're stuck with your plan until open enrollment. But there's a government rule that allows you to qualify for lower health insurance rates if your life has changed. That means if you've changed jobs, if you're having a child, if you're getting married, if you're getting divorced, even if you run a small business or you're self-employed, this law may qualify you to get lower health insurance rates. Call the Health Insurance Hotline today. Learn how this 10-minute call can help you get lower health insurance rates. This is a free service to help consumers learn the laws to help them qualify for lower health insurance rates. So call right now to learn more. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. Call 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946.
Alright guys, we are back on Dr. Dolly's show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOCDALLY, 1-877-DOCDALI. So Governor Cuomo says there is no reason that all schools shouldn't be open by September. And today, Governor Cuomo of New York says he believes that all schools statewide should reopen to full-time in-person learning. He made the statement after being asked if he would mandate vaccines for students. And if he backed an announced move to fully reopen all schools in New York City, the governor said the state will be implementing a statewide policy that will cover all schools, but did not specify what would be in the policy. Now, locally, the Brighton Central School District, according to locally from WHEC-TV, had planned to reopen fully for students in grades 6 to 12, but had abandoned them after
after some cases were still considered too high to allow a reopening. Now, Cuomo said while remote learning is, quote, the best the state could do in a bad situation, it ultimately had a negative impact on poor and minority families. It took away a year of socialization for some students. So he said the remote learning sounds fine, worked fine enough for some students. Some students paid a very heavy price for remote learning. He said remote learning only works if you're in a home that has the equipment, if you're in a home that has access to the internet, if you're in a home that has someone who can help the student with the issues. But COVID discriminated. It discriminated. So he also addressed the possibility of mandating the vaccine for students. He said it's a, quote, controversial topic, but one the state has already discussed. He had said a mandate would be a legal challenge as the vaccine has not yet received full approval from the FDA. I agree with that. I don't think you could mandate the shot. I just don't. Especially when it comes to parents. Now, colleges are going to mandate. Apparently, there's hundreds of colleges that are mandating vaccines for you to come back on campuses because they got spanked so badly during this COVID pandemic. They don't want that ever happening again. So they're like, fine, you know what? All right. Just everybody wants to come back on campus, they have to show they're vaccinated. But for the younger kids, while we're still, you know, seeing what happens with the Moderna, getting Moderna approved, Pfizer's approved 12 years on up, the CDC's investigated a small handful of myocarditis cases, which we talked about in the beginning of the show, I just don't think we are anywhere near saying it has to be mandated. And the other challenge we're going to have is, let's say, by the fall, which many people predict we'll have more information about, you know, when it comes to students and the vaccines, kids and the vaccines. Even if by the fall they say, okay, the vaccine is safe in all kids, it takes time to vaccinate a bunch of kids. And it takes time because they have to get the two shots. And so I don't foresee there being mandatory vaccination for grade school by September. I just don't see that happening. And I don't see it being legal. That's just me. So, Cuomo believes that the FDA will move the vaccines beyond an emergency use authorization by September, which would then allow the mandate to move forward. Pfizer is currently trying to get full approval from the government. And, you know, public schools, and this has been a topic that keeps being brought up, well, public schools have been mandating vaccines now for years. Why not mandate the COVID vaccine? Well, again, the vaccines that have been mandated for kids have been around for decades. They've been around for years. And so, we're also a lot more open now. So when there are side effects to vaccines, it gets out there. I know there's a lot of push on social media to prevent there being false information. You don't want a parent saying, yeah, my kid grew a third testicle. You don't want false information. But if a parent says, look, guys, this is what happened to my kid. I want you guys to know about it. There's some debate on how much of a role social media is going to have. But if anybody had a reaction to a vaccine in the 70s or the 80s, it got reported to the government, but a lot of people didn't hear about it. And so nowadays, things are a lot more transparent. People are a lot more vocal. And so this COVID vaccine is pretty new. And, you know, parents are being a little... there's been some suggestions that the COVID vaccine might actually start to change how parents are approaching the childhood vaccines, because many parents have been homeschooling or have been getting doctor's notes and waivers to get their kids out of the vaccine program. And so if there is remote learning as an option, parents might use that so they don't have to, you know, vaccinate their kids. So it's interesting. The more progress we might make in public health, the more we might set ourselves back, especially when you start to bring up terms like mandate. And I get it. I get for vaccines to work, you have to have herd immunity. I get that. But I also think that, you know, people do have a choice. But it gets tricky because do kids have a choice? It's all on their parents. What if parents say, I don't want my kid vaccinated, but the kid wants to be vaccinated? So it's tricky stuff. But should schools reopen? I mean, is Governor Cuomo going to not allow a at-home alternative? You know, many people are saying, look, if you give parents a choice, their kids are not going to go to school. They're going to keep their kids out of school. Apparently, a lot of parents did. And we spoke about that. A lot of parents, even though schools were open, said, I'm going to do the online. Either A, I'm nervous about COVID and kids. Either B, I don't want my kid coming home exposing me, and now I'm stuck, and I can't go to work, which is why the CDC said, look, if you're vaccinated, and if you don't have symptoms, you're still allowed to go to work. You don't have to isolate. But before that, before the vaccine, you know, parents are like, look, that was one of my reasons. I left it up to my kid. I go, do you want to go back or not? And when my kid said no, I'm like, that's fine by me. Because the last thing I needed is the school to say, sorry, guys, there was an outbreak. Your kid was exposed, and now I'm exposed. And I can't work. I mean, it was frightening times for all of us. Not so much, you know, or in addition to it, the fact that it's a virus, but that you couldn't work. Telling somebody they can't work, it's pretty bad. But then once you tell them, they're like, all right, well, you know what? I got used to not working. So I don't know how that's going to go. My guess is when it comes to schools in the fall and governors and public officials, they are going to probably want all kids to go back, but they will allow a hybrid, but you're going to have a doctor's note. Or you're going to have some sort of, somebody else is going to have to put their John Hancock or their license on the line saying why that kid can't go back to school. So if a child has, let's say, a medical issue and they're immunocompromised and they couldn't be vaccinated, right? Their parent wants to keep them home. They might then, with a doctor's note. And I'm not saying this is what's going on, but that would be my guess. Because I really think once you did this lockdown and you gave people, you know, that out, to get them to go back, even though a lot of us parents want our kids back, I want my kid going to college, see ya. I don't want, he'll be in state, but still, I'm like, I want you around other kids, go have fun, you know, find a wife, find a job, see ya. There's still a lot of parents out there, or a lot of kids out there saying, I don't want to go back. There's bullies, there's shootings, there's politics being taught in school. I just want to learn my math and my science. And so I predict the following. One is schools will reopen in full in the fall, but there will be that hybrid allowing a doctor's note. And if flu season comes in and people start to panic, there'll still be online options. I'm not sure how they're going to control that because remember, we're kind of coming to flu, cough, and cold season. And parents are going to say, I want my kid to learn while they're sick at home. And then number two is I foresee there being this, forgot what I was talking about. I was telling my kids to go have fun, go to college, do what you need to do. I forget what my second prediction is, but it was kind of along that line of there being these either rules and the obstacles to not being able to go back to school. And so we'll see what happens with that. But I get it. You know, Cuomo has to, you know, get kids back. Parents need to be able to go back to work. Everything's supposed to kind of, you know, by the end of the summer, the unemployment benefits, the additional unemployment benefits are supposed to stop. It should have stopped by June 1. Not sure why they extended it, why it's all the way till September, because businesses are hurting, but we'll see what happens. 1-877-DOC-FELLY.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-880-1896. 800-880-1896. 800-880-1896. That's 800-880-1896.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000. $5,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.